You didn't know there was Bible school in the Old Testament? You didn't know that? Well, let's go back into the book of Kings, 2 Kings. Let's look at 2 Kings. We're going to talk about two fellows, two of my favorite fellows right here, Elijah and Elisha. And I got to look at these fellows waiting on the whirlwind is what we're going to be doing this morning. I know some of you here are waiting on this preacher to get over so we can have dinner. But, Waiting on the Whirlwind is the title of the message, okay? Waiting on the Whirlwind. In 2 Kings, now I got to give you a little background here. Elijah is getting up in age, and sound like I've been hitting on this a lot, Brother Reynolds, you know, about ready to leave the scene, go be with the Lord. And, hey, that's what we want. That's what it's all about, man. Are you kidding me? Don't cry for me, you know, that's what I want. No, stick around for another 100 years if you would, please. But the thing is that, you know, that's what our hope is. Well, Elijah kind of got, you know, down in the dumps, the old juniper tree, and then to the cave. And, you know, he didn't cry once, but he cried twice. I want you to say this. We pick up Elijah. He first comes on the scene. And I got to give you a little bit of background because very interesting. 17th chapter in verse 1, we find Elijah over there. Elijah the Tishbite, he was from Gilead, you know. And he said unto Ahab, and you know, Elijah and Ahab, King Ahab. Now, for the children here, let me tell you, David had one nation, one kingdom together, Israel. But then Solomon, his son, of course, we find that with his wisdom, what he had, he kind of took that wisdom and used it for the glory of God. But then again, he turned his heart. He had many women that turned his heart from the Lord, see? And it doesn't matter whether women, men, or whatever. I mean, somebody get you out of the will of God. Turn your heart towards God, away from the Lord. You're in a heap of trouble. What happened was the end result was the dividing of the nation. You know, his son come on the scene. He wasn't as bright, you know. Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. Solomon passes off the scene. You remember what happened there? Rehoboam, what a character he was, man. He got out the old bull whip, listened to the young whippersnappers for advice. You remember the story, right? Oh, my goodness, Rehoboam. You know, the children of Israel, they come to announce one nation, see? And they come up to Rehoboam and said, now, you know, your father's been kind of a little bit rough on you. We want to know what kind of a ruler you're going to be. Are you going to be easy with us? Are you going to give us a rough time? You know, and he went back and he listened to the counsel of not the older wise men, but he listened to the young whippersnapper buddies, his peers, you know. He listened to them. They said, well, tell those old folks out there, you're the king now, and you're going to tell them what to do, you know. And you tell them that my father ruled. He might have been hard on you, but when I get through with you, man, you'll think, you'll say, man, wow, my dad was easy on you compared to what I'm going to be on you. And that was a foolish advice that he received and foolish statement that he made to the nation. And I'll tell you, it was downhill from there, wasn't it? Yeah. Then there's always an opportunist by the name of Jeroboam, the fellow. You got the dividing of the nation, right? It's sad. You got the north and the south. Basically, Judah made up most of the south. Okay, that was it, Judah. That's how the Lord describes the south. You know, and the south had basically, you had the north and the south. You know, a little civil war going on a whole lot, like in our country here, but a little bit different there. The north, they had a string of, and it didn't seem like their presidents lasted long, you know, the kings. They kind of did evil in the sight of the Lord. You don't find anything good said about the kings in the north, okay? When after the nation divided, you got the north and the south. And I'm just telling you this so it'll be fresh for the children here. The northern kings, they were bad. They were evil. They always did evil. It says everywhere you read in the Bible, in Kings, it says, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked God. Well, you don't want to be provoking God, man. That's going against the grain. You're going to be in a lot of trouble. That's like, you know, going against what mama says. See, that's not good. See, that's going to get you in a lot of trouble. But anyway, the southern kings seem to be pretty good. But some not too smart. You got to watch out. That Jehoshaphat got with Ahab there, and man, what a mess that was. I shot an arrow into the air. I think about that situation, you know. Have you ever heard that, children? I've shot an arrow into the air. Where it landed, I do not know where, or whatever, you know. That's in the Bible. You didn't know that? Well, it sure is. The story behind that thing, it goes all the way back. There are a lot of things in the we hear these sayings today that some of them are not, most of them are not in the Bible. You know, grandma's recipe and a lot of other stuff, not in the Bible, all right? Maybe good and everything, not in the Bible. All right, before we get lost here, we better get with it because you're getting hungry. I'll have to preach like I'm in a whirlwind. Elijah warned Ahab of a drought. And I always thought about that. You know, Elijah, by the way, write this down, children. You ready? Here we go, students of the Bible. Elijah performed how many miracles? 8. And then Elisha, his servant, comes along. Guess how many miracles he performs? Twice as many, 16. You know, and that maybe that makes sense why Elisha said, I want a double portion of what Elijah had. Did he get it? Seemed like he got it. Did twice as many miracles, right? Think about that. All right, they're writing notes. That's a good thing. Did they write? They wrote notes with you too, man. They showed later, there's about 15 pages. The neat thing was that, well, it was funny. For you, they only had like about 3 pages. Me, they had 15 pages. I said, man, how'd you write? I said, just kept scribbling down anything and everything. That was the way they did it. But Elijah, you know, he did some things, man. It's just amazing. You know, he stopped the rain. Elijah, you know, we need to, as students in the Bible, we want to do like Paul told Timothy. He was a student, and he said, study to show yourself approved, a student unto God, right? A workman unto God. And so you'll be able to be in touch with heaven. So God will be with you and display with power. That you'll be, you know, be strong in the Lord, right? How can you be strong in the Lord? Study to show yourself approved of God. You don't have to prove it to a lot of other people, but God wants you to prove it to Him, what's in your heart. So Elijah, having said that, I'm getting back to that rain thing. Amazing thing that, you know what, you know, God is always going to do right, isn't He? He's always going to do right. Every time, always. God is always, He'll always do right. That's a good thing because you know what? When I read the Bible, I always know that whose side I'm supposed to be on, right? Now, Elijah goes up to that evil northern king there, the king in the north, Ahab, wicked guy, married an evil woman, Jezebel. Can't get any worse than what she, boy, she was wicked. And Elijah, he was a pretty strong fellow, but he had to deal with her. In fact, she had a pretty strong impact on the guy. You know? He got his eyes off the Lord there, didn't he? So Elijah goes to Ahab and he said, guess what? He said, because you've been doing evil, you're not going to get any more rain. Now for farmers, that'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? You're not going to have any more rain. For how long? 3.5 years. You kidding me? You know what that is? That's a drought. Back where I just moved over in Illinois, the ground, we tried to dig up the ground a little bit and plant. I never seen ground this dry in my life, man. You talk about you all had it pretty rough. We didn't do a garden this year, see? Man, that ground was unbelievable. I've never seen ground so dry, man. Wow. So Elijah told him that. Now, how can you just say it's not going to happen? Because Elijah knew what kind of a God he served. And he knew his Bible. Because he knew back in Deuteronomy, the Lord said, if my people desert me and forsake me, I'm not going to give them rain. And Elijah says, hey, there they've deserted, and I know that's what's right in line, and so I'm going to get in line. And this is just like when you go to pray, see? You can pray according to what the Bible says, what God says. Isn't that wonderful? You other folk out there, just hang in there. I'll get to you in a minute. I'm talking to this group here for a minute, all right? Just for a minute. All right, I'm done talking to you. All right, let's go on. Now, let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings. The life of Elijah has been a whirlwind of activity up to this point. Man, he is into everything. I mean, you look at him not only dealing with Ahab, he's over there raising the widow's son, you know. He goes back, confronts Ahab again. There he is up on Mount Carmel, 850-1. Said 450, then said 400 of the bunch thought they'd join in too. I like a statement that Elijah makes. It describes a lot of people today, the wishy-washy warriors. If God be God, serve Him. Baal him. And said they didn't answer him a word. Double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Isn't it true? Now, I hope I didn't, when I hit that thing, work that baby up. I'm so sorry about that. I'm sorry. But anyway, and then Elijah prays for the rain to stop, and it comes back. He prays for it to come back. And that's real interesting stuff. He goes down to Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb down there, and he says, God, I quit. That's in the cave. And he repeated it twice. I noticed he repeated it twice in chapter 19 of 1 Kings in verse 10, and then chapter 19 and verse 14. He said, I've been very jealous for you, Lord, everybody else against you, and I'm the only one, you know. And he repeats it twice. And he's got a pity party up there in the cave, and he says, God, let me die, man. I am so depressed, you know. He's suicidal, man. That's pretty bad depression, isn't it? Kill me, Lord. Kill me right here. I'm just no better than my father, man. Just get me out of here. No, Lord said, no, I'm not through with you. I want you to go do some anointing. I want you to anoint three fellas. I want you to go up there to Syria and I want you to anoint because somebody's going to be replaced up there, Hazael, to be king over Syria. Then I want you to go over to Jehu, the hot rod chariot fella, and I want you to anoint him. Okay? And then I want you to get down, and this is the guy we're looking at, Elisha. Elijah's servant. And boy, he served him well. Elisha was serving his father. But now he's going to serve his heavenly father. When Elijah comes onto the farm where Elisha's out there, he's got a dozen yoke oxen out there, man. He's busting the ground. He's doing some farming, serious business. And, yeah, man, that's a lot. I mean, he's really, I mean, said he had a dozen. So I don't think he could have handled all of them at the same time. So he had a bunch of farmers out there, I mean, the servants under him. And he knew how to do directing of work, you know. And so he's the kind of guy that God's going to call. Hey, I've got a guy who knows how to get the job done over here. He's proved himself. He's been faithful to his dad, and now he's going to be faithful to me. And so go anoint him. And so he goes over there and he does that, all right? So you see all these things happen, and then other things. We're not going to get Naboth's vineyard. We're not going to get into all that. But the second chapter of 2 Kings, we're going to pick it up. Look at verse 1 down to verse 4. Here we go. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. He had him. He's going to answer his prayer. I'm going to take you home, son. Time to retire. We're going to take you home. Yeah, I know you've served me well. And so he's going to go up in a blaze of glory. He's going to, a chariot of fire. Elijah's going to go up. We know the story. And we know about Elisha crying unto Elijah. We know all that, right? Okay, having said that, how's Jesus going to find us when he returns? I want you to think of the second coming of Christ when we preach this. And, you know, what we should be doing until He returns. We need to be about our Father's business. Amen. Now, watch this. Here it was. We're going to notice what kind of a time setting it was. Look at verse 1. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elijah to Gilgal. Before I go any further, there's a little phrase in the Bible, and it said, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah. I like that. And the word of the Lord came, see? Now, a lot of times we go looking for God's word to speak to us. But, you know, when it says it came the past that the word of the Lord came to Elijah, it came by via the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit directed the message that God had, and God, the Holy Spirit, told him what God wanted done. It came to pass that the word of the Lord, emphasis, it wasn't the vision came, it's the word of the Lord. You could say, well, the Lord spoke in a vision, the Lord spoke in a miracle, miraculous, but the emphasis is the word of the Lord, communication. Our God, revelation, He's revealed His will for our life. Amen? Aren't you thankful we've got the book? You were talking about, man, back in the Old Testament, they didn't have anything. And yet, amazing how much they accomplished. You know, today we think that we're advanced. I look, listen, these folks in the Old Testament seem to be more on insight than a lot of Baptists today, you know. They knew a lot. Well, what they did know, they may not have had as much as we have today. But what they had, boy, they clung to it. Amen. I mean, they hid God's Word in their heart. And we find that it accomplished God's will in their life. So, we find that in the second chapter, verse 1, it came to pass when the Word of the Lord, when the Lord would take up Elijah. So, we find that Elijah takes Elisha with him from Gilgal. Now, I want you to get the setting. Elijah, he's up in age, man, from the time that he stepped out of nowhere, Elijah, way a long time ago. Elijah is the old fella. Elisha is the upcoming servant. He's about ready to follow and walk in the footsteps of, he calls him the whole army of Israel. That's what Elisha says, you know, about Elijah. Now, Elijah's the old fella here, and he's going to take the young upstart fella, who he had just anointed. He's going to take him serving. He's going to take him around. And Elijah, it's amazing. You know, until the time that God takes him home, he stays busy, doesn't he? He's busy. He's about his father's business. There was no retirement plan for this fella, just an uptaking. That's it. Right? He said, you know, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going until the Lord takes me home. That's it. I've heard of some of these preachers say, you know, when I die, I hope I die in the pulpit. I hope you don't. Because that'll scare all the rest of us, you know. I mean, it will have, man, I don't want to have a heart attack looking at somebody else having a heart attack, right? I don't want to watch somebody doing that, you know. You know, you heard about Grandpa when he said, you know, the boy said, you know, I want to die like Grandpa died, you know. He just closed his eyes and went to be with the Lord. He said, I don't want to be like the other kinfolk that were in the back seat when Grandpa died. He was driving. He went off the cliff, see? And everybody else was in the back seat going, ah! You know? I don't want to be like that. So, the Lord calls you home, I hope it's not in a pulpit, alright? Pray the Lord don't do that. I've heard that. I think he said that. I want to be, you know, Lord call me right from the pulpit. Man, I hope not. Scared me when he said that, I'll tell you. Made me think about it. But we find that many times we read it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Now it's going to be transferred over to Elijah, his replacement. All right, now they're moving on. They're going to bounce to several places here. In fact, I've got four or five places I want you to write down. We're going to notice that the time passing is a short time. It's a swift time. And as Elijah's taking Elisha with him, Elijah turns around. And he's training him, and so you're going to hear like Elijah trying to shake him away. Hey, listen, why don't you just stay right here, and I'm going to go over there, okay? And Elisha makes the young boy says, no, Father Elijah, as the Lord liveth, I'm with God called me to be with you. I'm learning. I'm being trained in the school here, and I want to know what to do. I'm going to be faithful, in other words. And that's what he does. So, that's what happens. Elijah, we find that in verse 1, the time of this approaching of Elijah to be taken up is real close. And Elisha knows he's going to be going. And Elisha says, you know what, when you leave, I want to see it. Well, God made Elijah a promise. And Elisha wants to see it, too. He says, I'm not leaving. I want to see. In fact, we know that it has such an impact on him, he wants a double portion. Well, first of all, we find in verse 1 that it was a time of watching, a time of watching. As they were waiting on for this whirlwind, that chariot of fire to come and take Elijah, they didn't sit down and say, well, we'll sit on the front porch, we're just going to take a little break here and just sit back and retire and do nothing. They didn't do that. Elijah didn't do that. Elijah stayed busy. And he goes, notice the places, the key places. We find it was a time of watching, for, number one, first of all, for a precious event. According to the verse here in verse 1, Elijah knew the precious truth that he was going to go to heaven without having to pass through death. And that was a privilege that had only been enjoyed by one other fellow that we know in history, amen, back in Genesis 5, by the name of Enoch. He was a man who lived for and walked with the Lord, and when his time was over, God simply took Enoch and he was. He walked with the Lord and he was not, we're told. for the Lord took them. So we find without passing through death. So that's a precious event that Elijah anticipated. And Enoch had it happen to him. And guess what? If the Lord came today, it'll happen to us. It's called the rapture, and I'm excited about that. You know, it can happen. It may happen. I'm looking forward to it happen. I know it's going to happen. And maybe today. So the timing. It was a time of watching. They're busy, but they're watching. They're anticipating what God promised. You know, the promises of God are they're yea and amen. They're true. They're not yea and nay. Paul said they're yea all the way. Amen. And so what we've got, this is a precious event that's going to take place when Elijah is going to go to heaven. That excites me, I think, just about that. You know, I'd like to repeat the prayer that John on the Isle of Patmos stated. He said, amen, amen, even so, come Lord Jesus. The Lord said, I come quickly. Amen, amen, come quickly. Amen, even so, come. And that was a promise. It was in the imperative too. It's amazing. A precious event, but secondly, it was a promised event. I mean, when you read down here, look at verse 2. Elijah says unto Elijah, tarry here. They go to Gilgal. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'm not going to depart from thee. I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. They go to Gilgal, to Bethel. Verse 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou not the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Here we go. Dear Sister Mandy said, man, I enjoyed that one time about that school of the prophets. Look at verse 3. The sons of the prophets. Now they had a school for the sons of the prophets. Now the prophets, we know the prophets, what they did. What the sons of the prophets, they thought they're going to be like dad. They were going to be a preacher, you know. And the problem was they were studious, but they weren't exercising faith, you know. What good is it to hear the word of God and not do it, see? The sons of the prophet, you go to school and do all the learning, but if you don't do, if he is just a hearer and not a doer, you know, what good is it? You might wind up to be like Peter said in the last days, there'll be scoffers, see? Here's what's going on here. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, Bethel means the house of God, okay, the house of Elohim, came forth to Elisha. They didn't go to the old man. They knew they couldn't move him. His faith was too strong. But here they are, they're young, and here the young whippersnappers are challenging another whippersnapper that probably, he didn't go to the university, he didn't go to the school, and so they're gonna challenge this old boy, this young kid. Hey, don't you know that Elijah's gonna be taken away from you? And then what are you gonna do? He said, I know he's gonna be taken away, just shut up! Shut up! That's what he would say, you know. That's what my boy James used to say. Shut up. You know. Hold your peace. Just shut up. What's he saying? He's saying that they're trying to get to him. Bad enough, Elijah says, why don't you just stay here? So no, I ain't doing that, man. You got too much. You got too much about you and what's in you, the spirit of you. I'm following on to know the Lord. And so he goes in here, look at verse 4. And Elijah says unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me. Now, it's wonderful to know that God is where to go, amen? You know, a lot of people say, I don't know what I should be doing. I don't know where to go. Amazing, Elijah says, hey, the Lord sent me to a specific place, and I need to be doing this specific work over here. I'm going to go from Gilgal to Bethel, and then notice he goes from there, and the next place is Jericho. Ah, we know it took place at Jericho, don't we, children? And the walls came tumbling down. We'll get back to that in a minute. But notice here, and he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they both went to Jericho. Now, verse 5, the sons of the prophets, oh, those rascal kids, here they come again, look out, that were at Jericho, came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy... It sounds like a broken record. These guys will just not stop, will they? You know, have you ever had somebody try to provoke you and they just... It's like over and the same story, the same kind of statement they make to you. And you know they've already... They know they've already told it to you. It's not that you didn't hear it, but why are they repeating it? Well, look at verse 5. He says there, he said, "Knowest thou that the Lord is going to take away thy mask from thy head?" He answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." I don't know if that, you want to translate that, "shut up." I think that would have been a little bit rude. Children don't do that. We shouldn't teach children to say that word. That's an awful thing to say. Just say, "Hold ye your peace." How's that? That's good. That way you won't get in trouble. You'll be scriptural. But notice in verse 6, "And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent man." Elijah, you're on the move. You're getting senior citizen here ready to go to heaven. Why even bother doing the traveling? I mean, have you been checking in, brother? Have you been checking in at the travel agency lately? "I think I'm going to do some traveling, you know." Well, he's not traveling just for tourist attractions or something like that. He's traveling to do the will of God. He's doing God. What do you suppose he's telling those folks? Right to the end, man. "Thus saith the Lord." He's preaching the Word of God everywhere he went. Everywhere we go, that ought to be our agenda. That ought to be our main drive. "As the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I'll not depart from thee." So they two went on. Verse 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, stood in view far off, and they stood two stood by Jordan. Now, I got verse 7 here is what you got picture. You got the Jordan River, and they know that they're going to cross over the Jordan. So you got 50 of them now. You got a big bunch of them. Sons of the prophets, I think there was a handful of them. But now you got a whole bit. It's like showtime. They're up there, 50 sons of the prophets who have been picking on Elisha. They're eating popcorn up on the hill over here on the side watching these two guys, Elijah and Elisha. Say, "Man, boys, I wonder what's going to happen next." They're not, you know, they're curiosity. Listen, we have a lot of people that go to church, curiosity seekers. That's all they are. They're maybe Athenians, want to hear something new, you know. You know? I mean, you know, they're matinee people. That's all they are. They just want to go watch the show. Okay? And if you look, notice what they do here in verse 8. Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so they... the two went over on dry ground. Well, I hope they choked on their popcorn. Those 50 over there of unbelieving sons of the prophets, there they are. They didn't believe anything. They're just there for the show anyway. You know, and I mentioned this the other day. I've only been here a couple of days, yesterday, day before, that the problem with Israel... What was their big hang up? What do we read in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews? They saw the miracles, they saw the works. Jesus says in John 6, you know, they ate not of the true bread, but they ate of the bread, the manna that came down. Moses gave you manna, but you missed out on the real deal. Because faith wasn't mixed with it. And without faith, you can't please God, you can't receive from God. Sons of the prophets are up on the hill, and listen, all the learning that you do in school, children, you have to mix it with faith in God. Without faith, you can't please God. You can't come unto God. You can't get your prayers answered. You don't know which direction to go. It's amazing that the word of the Lord, that's what we've got, came to Elijah. Well, we've got it, came through via King James here, and we've got it. And it came unto us, and what are we going to do with it now that it has come to us? Are we going to go into the center of the will of God? You know, the safest place to be for you, the place that you don't ever have to worry or fear or fret not, is when you're in the center of God's will. Which is the Word of God tells you what is the will of God. So the child of God can do the work of God. Amen? Now let's look at some things here. So, it was a time of watching. Man, even the prophets got in on that, didn't they? I mean, they said, "Man, we're going to watch this. Something's going to happen here." So it's a precious moment when you think about the rapture. It's a promised event because God promised it, and Elijah knew it was going to happen. That's why he's hanging close. Okay, and it was for a private event. Even though all these people knew it was coming, nobody knew when it was going to happen. Right? I mean, those prophets are following around, and Elijah. He's staying close to the Master. You know? Listen, the hour and the day knoweth no man when the Son of Man is going to come. Right? We don't know it, but we know He's coming. So it's a private event, as the rapture is described. And Elijah knew that God's coming for him, and he didn't know just when, so he didn't sit down. He lived his last days and hours in anticipation of that coming. Same's true, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, folks. The Bible's clear that it tells us that it's going to happen. It's going to happen just as clear. It tells us that we don't know when it's going to happen. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Therefore, I just keep going back. People say, well, why did he say that if he's God? Why didn't he say, me and my Father, both of us, we know it? You got to remember that his humanity is always being displayed because he was made like unto his brethren. And he wants his brethren because he came made like unto his brethren, suffered like his brethren, suffered far greater than any of us, and that we might have a sympathizing Savior, right? A great high priest, wonderful throne of grace that we've got, we can go to, knowing that he was a man. Did you know there's a man in heaven on the throne today? He's the God-man, right? You don't separate his being God and being man, deity and humanity together. One person, two natures, two, and one, right? All right, so we've got this happening. It's a time of watching. Secondly, now we're going to move on here. It was a time of walking. They're watching. It's going to happen. But it's a time of walking. They're not just doing nothing. They're not sitting idle. They're busy. And they're going from different places. They're walking about. We see that in the first six verses. Elijah, he's anticipating his departure from this world. What's he do? He continues to live as he always had. You know, he continues to walk in humble obedience before the Lord God. You see, the Lord hath sent me. See that in verse 2. The Lord hath sent me, verse 4. The Lord hath sent me, verse 6. If Elijah hadn't been like many in our day, he would have spent his last days on the earth in some kind of retirement from service, you know. Some retirement. No, he didn't do that. He would have spent his time doing all the things he hadn't had time to do while he was active serving the Lord, you know. Well, I'm not trying to deprive anybody of the joy or any kind of recreation or anything. Some preachers go out and golf. I can't do that. Do you do that? Oh, I'll pray for you, man. I've tried that one time. The only part of golfing I like is where you drive that ball. Driving range. You know, you've seen them. You go out and get a basket of balls and just hit that thing, you know. It's called releasing yourself. A little tractor with a net, a metal netting around it, the guy to protect him. I'm out there. I was ornery when I was a kid before when I was lost. All of us young teenagers, we go out there. Let's see if we can get that guy out there, you know. Don't do that. Children, I should have told them that. Now they probably thought, well, I thought he was a nice guy. Well, I am. I got saved. Only because of the Lord. So it was a time of walking. I'm just worn to a frazzle, brother. I'll tell you, I don't know why. But walking with purpose. Notice he knew where he was going. He knew where he had to be. He knew what his purpose was, and that was stay busy until the Lord call you up. Stay busy, folks, till the Lord calls us. Don't give up. Shut up till you be taken up. Not only is he walking with purpose, but he's walking with progress. And as the Lord led Elijah from place to place, God's bringing the prophet to that place from which he intended to remove him from this world, finally. So for Elijah, these places he visited allowed him the opportunity to visit the school of the prophets. They want to do some learning. Wouldn't you like to have sat in on some of the lessons that Elijah... He stops in at where the school of the prophets is. He's permitted to speak, I'm sure, to the young men there that are training, if they listen. I don't know. Doesn't say, but one thing for sure, look at the places he went to. First he goes to Gilgal. Why Gilgal mentioned first? You know, that's the first place when the children of Israel crossed over the Jordan. They wound up at Gilgal. You know what Gilgal means? The reproaches are rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. The reproaches of Egypt. The reproaches of being a slave to sin. You've entered into a new situation now. And so Elisha is with Elijah, and God's not sending Elijah for Elijah, but for Elisha. You're starting new, son, and you need to, first of all, realize that if you're a servant of me, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? And the reproaches have rolled away. So Gilgal is important. The order here. Now, after you get saved, so to speak, put it in today's perspective, that's what happens when people get saved. You know that? Gilgal in the Bible is symbolic of like when you get saved, the reproaches of being lost, the sin, you know, slave to sin. Because if you're not saved, listen, whose master are you going to serve? You're going to serve sin. If the Son sets you free, though, that you're free indeed. So Gilgal pictures like being saved. And then after somebody gets saved, what do you do after you get saved? Well, you know what? When I was saved, God put on my heart, naturally, if God saves you, you want to serve Him. You want to go to the house of God. Where did they go after Gilgal? Bethel. Bethel. That's a school over there, the Sons of the Prophet, you know. But Bethel means the house of God. You get the reproach, you get saved, and, you know, children of God should go to Bethel, the house of God. Amen. What's the first thing after somebody gets saved? They ought to be baptized, which is a door into a church. You're professing your faith, that's true. But they were added unto the assembly through baptism, a profession of their faith, the picture of what their faith was in, right? And so we find that Bethel was a holy place for the people of Israel. It was at Bethel that the patriarch Jacob had met the Lord God in Genesis 28. Bethel signified the place of the altar and of total dependence upon the Lord. When people quit going to church, don't seem like they are totally depending upon the Lord. Right? Amen. So we see that and we move on. Let's go to Jericho. I like to go to Jericho. You ready? Here we go, children. We're going to Jericho in verse 4 and verse 5. For the people of Israel, Jericho represented the power of God. Obviously, to give victory in the day of battle. And how did they do it? Did they get out there pitchforks and battle axes and stuff like that? Didn't do it. They didn't have to get the sword out. They didn't have to do any of that. For the Lord their God did fighting for them. He went before them. They said, well, what do we do? The wall of Jericho, you ready for this? How wide do you think that wall was? You think it might have been this wide? A couple of brick, maybe 5 brick? No. How about from that wall over to here? No, 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 no. How about right here? No, no, no. Exactly how big, children, I don't know, but we're told, historians, archaeologists said that thing, you could ride 3 chariots abreast on the top of that thing. They had a highway. Can you imagine that? Here's a wall. In fact, the wall, we know, the wall was like a condominium too, wasn't it? Why, Rahab lived in the wall, didn't she? Hey, quiet up there. I'm trying to sleep. This is for the children, all right? This message. I'll get back to normality tonight, Lord willing. I don't know. What do you think? A chariot? I don't know. I've never built a chariot. Have you? Hey, but you know, you got to say, you know, maybe 2 horses wide and wheels. So we got about 3 chariots of breath. I don't know, I'm thinking about over by this guy over here maybe, you know, binga, binga, binga. If you can ride 3 chariots abreast, that's pretty wide. Yeah. What am I getting at? It's a big wall. How many sticks of dynamite you got?
I ain't got any.
Well, how are we going to get that thing down?
I guess we're going to have to trust the Lord on this one.
Are you kidding me? You crazy? We better call some construction company. Israel didn't have a construction company. But they had something better. They had the greatest. They had the Almighty God. You know, it's amazing, children, when you study in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when God speaks to His people, sometimes He'll reveal Himself. He had a lot of names. And because He was a lot of a God. He's so much about Him, you can't just look at Him in one way. You couldn't get one picture and say, there He is, folks. No. He's so awesome, you couldn't describe picture. You couldn't see Him in just one picture. He's so much about Him. Just wonderful. And then, They said, well, what are we going to do? Well, I guess we're going to have to trust the Lord on this. And Lord, you got a plan? Yeah, I got a plan. Lord, should we? I guess we better follow you. What's your plan? Well, why don't you go around the walls? Going to do this 7-day thing. Every day you go around there, don't do any shouting. Just going to sing. Can you imagine what the Jericho bunch up on the wall? I know I'm getting sidetracked. This is the rabbit time. But can you imagine those folks up on the wall looking down at this? Now, they're scared because Rahab the harlot who lived in the wall, she said, man, we heard about you guys coming a long time ago. And we knew it was over. It was just, you know, our days are done. Numbered. Our days are numbered, man. The writing was on the wall. Okay? But anyway, so those people up on the wall looking down, it's laughing and looking at it. Oh, time to quit, right? Oh, it is time to quit. 12:05. Sorry about that. Yeah. Tell them I'm almost through. So here's what's going on. Here's what's going on. They're looking at the wall down there and they're saying, look at those funny Jews, Israel. Look at those people. Aren't they crazy? They're down there going, ya-da-da-da. No, I don't know what they're doing, okay? They're singing, hey, the walls are coming down. Oh, praise Jehovah. It's going to happen soon. Aren't you glad I don't sing and Wanda sings? Can you see why I don't sing? Who said amen? Okay, so you got progress going on. Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, the walls did come down, right? Sometimes there's big obstacles in our way. Jericho was the biggest obstacle. They went to Gilgal, and the first big city was a walled-up city. That was Jericho. Sometimes you Gilgal, you get saved, and the next thing you know, you meet some big obstacle. What am I going to do? Now I'm a Christian. There's a big walled-up situation here I've got. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. Lord said, no problem there. Don't worry. You follow on with me. You'll see some great things happening. Now, they're laughing up on the wall, but they didn't laugh when they started, you know, a whole lot of shaking going on there, right? And God did the shaking. One day coming, when the Lord comes again, this earth of people who don't believe and they're laughing at God, they're up in the wall, they're a high horse, so to speak. They, in society, they think, oh, those Christians, you know, one day the walls of life of their situation is going to come crumbling down. Destruction is the end. But so they move on. I'm talking about Elijah and Elijah. Now they go over to the Jordan. Now for Israel, the River Jordan marked the end of their wilderness wanderings. It was a picture of death all through the Bible. Consistently, Jordan always refers to death. Jordan is always referring to death. It was a place where the pilgrims died. When they crossed Jordan, they were no longer pilgrims, but they were a people who had arrived home. Folks, Jordan was a place of death. For Elijah, it was a perfect place to reflect on all the ways he had died to self during his years as a man of God. He can reflect back, and there he could reflect on the fact that he had lived a selfless life and that he lived a life to the glory of God. Whereabouts on the Jordan do you think he was crossing? I got a feeling it was the same place when they first entered into the Promised Land. And I'll tell you something else, and if that be so, then it's the same place where Jesus Christ was baptized. Now, did you know what baptism pictures? Death. We're telling people that when Jesus died, I died. He died for me. That's what baptism, you're picturing a burial death. A burial grave there, right? You're picturing that, and when you go into water, you're picturing, you know, when people, you don't sprinkle dirt on them, right? When they're out in the cemetery. You put them down. And you put them down there. What's that old picture? What's the picture? The picture is that Jesus died for me, was buried in the grave, and rose again the third day. That's what the Jordan, Jesus Christ was baptized. Now, he wasn't picturing what he was going to do for himself, but what he was going to do for us. He was going to picture what he was going to do for us through what he was doing at Calvary. At Calvary, what he did at Calvary, he pictured already before he went to Calvary, before Jesus went to the cross, he pictured that at the Jordan when John the Baptist baptized him. So in closing, we find that here they're walking with purpose and progress, and they're walking with people. They're not walking alone. Notice here, you got verse 6, verse 8, 9, verse 11, Elijah travels his last miles on the earth. He didn't attempt to travel them alone. We find that he's got Elijah with us. I like the song, No, Never Alone. The Lord said He'll never forsake us. He's with us, so that's good enough for me. I'm not going to be alone. Now, it was a time, listen folks, it was a time of watching, amen? It was a time of walking, but last of all, it was a time of working, and I've already covered that, and I don't think I need to mention that to you. Verse 8, look at verse 8. It says, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they did divide it hither and thither, and so they went over on dry ground. You know, at the end of Elijah's life, he's still walking by faith. He and Elijah come to the river Jordan, and they need to get across. So Elijah does what he always did. He expected the impossible from God. And you know, without faith, it's impossible. So Elijah trusted his Redeemer. He was training his replacement. You see that there in verse 9. Look at. And it came to pass when they were going over, Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I'll do for you before I be taken away. And Elijah said, I pray, I want a double portion. Not you, but the Spirit that dwells within you. I want a double portion of the Spirit of God that's in you. I don't want your spirit, I want His spirit. And I want a double portion of what you got. You got a lot of it. And like I said, he performed 16 miracles. Amazing. Elijah only performed 8. I say only, as if that was little. My goodness, it wasn't. So they traveled their road, and we find that was a time of working, right till the very time that he was called up of God. He was still busy for the Lord. I pray that we'll all stay that way, traveling this road. I've got something to say. You know, we should think about the second coming of Christ. I never begin my work in the morning, one preacher said, without thinking that perhaps the Lord may interrupt my work and begin His own. I'm not looking for death, I'm looking for the Lord. Somebody had written this in closing, sometime, some ordinary day will come, a busy day like this, filled to the brim, with ordinary tasks, perhaps so full that we have little care or thought for the Lord. We're caught up for the moment. And there will be no hint from silent skies, no sign, no clash of cymbals, roll of drums. And yet that ordinary day we be, the very day before our Lord returns, it could be, the day before we lay our burdens down and learn instead the strange feel of a crown, the day before all grieving will be past and our tears will be wiped away at last. O child of God, awake and work and pray that ordinary day might be today. Make ready all thine house. Tomorrow's sun may dawn upon the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. Will He find us serving or will He find us sleeping? Will He find us watching, walking and working like Elijah and Elisha? We can learn some truths, can't we, about the return of Christ, how we ought to be. I'll tell you, I thank God for the time in this church. Thank you. And I pray that God will use you in a great way, as He has, even greater. You know, when you come to the house of God, you come looking for the blessings to hear from heaven, you know. Are you anticipating God to do something? Man, get all shook up. I didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, you didn't? Well, what kind of God are you serving? You know, He's a God of action. He's a God of almighty power. He does all things. And you know what? He answers prayer. He's still blessing His people. Brother, come, would you? Thank you for Brother Reynolds letting us speak to you, the church here, and the children. Remember, children, Gilgal, right? Bethel, right? Jericho, Jordan, right? Remember those places, okay?